And I don't mean a testimony. I'm actually going to tell you a fairy tale. And you think I'm joking. I'm actually 100% serious. And so here's the deal. No, I'm okay right now. I'm going to read you a story. I mean a poem. Then the story. Sorry, I'm still tired. It's been a long day. Trying to decide which one to read you guys. Thank you for that. I'm going to read you a poem called To Build a Swing. This is what it says. This is the poem. It says this. You carry all the ingredients to turn your life into a nightmare. Do not mix them. Let me read that again just in case you missed it. This poem begins with this phrase. You carry all the ingredients to turn your life into a nightmare. Do not mix them. Do not mix them. You have all the genius to build a swing in your backyard for God. You have all the genius to build a swing in your backyard for God. That sounds like a hell of a lot more fun. Let's start laughing, drawing blueprints, and gathering our talented friends. That sounds like a hell of a lot more fun. I don't know what language is appropriate anymore. I've been out of, I've been in, it's COVID brain. Like, let's just blame it on that. We'll all move on. Okay, cool. That sounds like a hell of a lot more fun. Let's start laughing, drawing blueprints, and inviting our talented friends. Let's start inviting our talented friends. I will help you with my divine guitar and drum. I will sing 1,000 words you can take into your hands like golden saws, silver hammers, polished teak wood, strong silk rope. You carry all the ingredients to turn your existence into joy. Mix it, mix it, mix it. More than anything in this season of my life, just to catch you up on where I'm at, and then we'll kind of share a few things. Is that okay? And if you get done before I do, you can go home. It's totally okay. You just leave your offering at the back. Okay. Just kidding. Kind of. I just feel more free in this season than I've ever felt. And in fact, like, there's just this space. Oh, you're a saint. I'm going to call the Pope. Literally, I just feel more free to be me. And in all honesty, I think a lot of us want the same thing. That's what's so hard. And we come into buildings and we come into churches and we come into meetings and we're like, I want to act normal, but I don't know how. Like, I don't know. I just want to sing the way I want, and I kind of just want to be a hot mess. Can I just be a hot mess? Can I just be a real hot mess and nobody try to fix me? You guys, your job is not to fix anyone. You can't save anyone. He does the saving. He does the convicting. He does the comforting. That's the goodness of God. That's the beauty of the Holy Spirit. We want to use him for gifts, and he just wants to come and wrap you like a blanket after he stabbed you in the side. It's beautiful. It's really, really awesome. He cut off that sore, and then you're bleeding, and he wraps you up and holds you. It's awesome. He convicts and he comforts. That's what he does. And I feel like for a lot of us, I think we need the freedom in this season to just kind of be a hot mess. You know? Like, we don't have to fit in anymore, I guess is what I'm saying. Especially a lot of you men in the room that have been doing church for a while and you still feel awkward coming. Like, I really want to bless men for showing up to something that actually doesn't really fit their personality 95% of the time. I want to honor you. Like, if you showed up tonight, I want to honor that most of the things that we sing happen to be more feminine. And you kept showing up because what you wanted was God more than the language. And I just appreciate that from you men. I just really do. For the men that have, continued to just show up. I really love that. I really am appreciative of that, men. Like, really, I hope you know that from the bottom of my heart. And I just feel like for a lot of us, we're missing out on the mystery of God. We sing this song. I almost stopped. Well, you probably could tell. I'm like, I'm just stopping right here. And we're going to talk about the mystery of God for the next 16 hours. I just feel like we have to let go of knowing anything. We know nothing. Zero. And the hard part is the more we try to tell people we know what we're talking about, the less they trust us because they know it's not true. You guys, we're talking about God. Okay? We're talking literally about a being so creative that he literally breathed and there were heavens and earth. He breathed and there was light. He just spoke and these things are created. He is a creative genius. You think anybody on, I do not care how many degrees you have. No one is coming into heaven, walking up to Jesus and going, this is exactly what I expected. Nobody's theology is 100% correct. No one's. Including yours, just FYI. That includes you. In case you're a Facebook theologian, I just want to make sure if you're one of those, I invite you to stop at any time. Because the truth is we don't know what we're doing. We have no clue. Our main job is to create safe space for human beings who are trying to interact with an eternal, complex, mysterious God. And instead of embracing the mystery, we decided that we would become theologically accurate and we thought we could dissect God by putting him under a microscope. And it has not worked out for us. In fact, it's hurt a lot of us because we feel stupid. We come in here and we go, I don't know what I'm doing. And we keep making people feel like they have to in order to come. Here's where I'm going with this. I want to take you into deep mystery. Like this poor crew from Ridgecrest, they got 2 days of this, okay? You're going to get like maybe 20, 30 minutes, okay? That's it. Sorry, it's been a long couple days, all right? But I will say this. The whole goal was to create liminal space, which is a transition space, which is what all of humanity's in. It's an ancient language for the space in between two places. So if you were walking in the room and you have 1 foot in one side and 1 foot in the other and you're standing under the threshold, you are in liminal space. Because you're not out of one room and you're not quite into another. That is where humanity is at right now. We are in a liminal space, and we don't know what's in the other room yet. See, we love the verses about mystery. We love the verses about, isn't he doing a new thing? Praise God, he's doing a new thing. Amen. Glory, hallelujah, he's doing a new thing, right? Amen. He's doing a new thing. We love the verse, but the truth is we think we know what the new thing is, so it's easy. That's why we're saying it. We're saying it because we're like, he's doing a new thing. I'm already in, but you should join. Do you know what I'm saying? We're utterly convinced we know what the new thing is. So that's why we say those verses, because we think we know. We don't know. Oh, yes, God, you're a mystery. I love it. I want to be in the mystery. And then your life falls apart and you wonder why. Job. You know what I'm saying? There's a reason the first book of the Bible that was written was Job. That was the first book of the Bible that was penned was Job. First book written. There's a reason that was the first book that was penned. Because God knew that in all of humanity, the hardest thing that we would encounter is the reality that life does not go according to our plan and the way we thought it should. And the truth is that's because life is mostly mystery. It's mostly wide open space. Where we just get to kind of wander in with God going, hey, I'm here for you. I'm here. That's all I got. I don't know what's happening. I don't know where this is going, but I'm here. And he goes, that's enough. And what allows us to do that, where I'm trying to take you is, what allows us to do that is story. See, do you understand that the Bible is literally 75% story? 15% song and poem, and 10% teaching an essay. Okay? And do you know how many times the word pastor is in the Bible?
Once.
That means we base our entire church model off of something that's in 10% of the Bible and mentioned once. I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. Do you get what I'm saying? Please hear my heart. What I'm saying is there's bigger space for us. You guys, what people in the world need right now is more story. Jesus was a storyteller. He taught stories more than he did anything else. In fact, your Bible says in Mark and in Matthew that Jesus never taught without telling a fake story. Did you know that? Oh, we call them parables. It's a fake story. Just in case you're wondering, prodigal son never really happened. It's a fake story. You know, the treasure in the field, fake story. These are all things that Jesus, see, the difference between an illustration and a story is one is to illustrate a point that you have preconceived. The other is to illuminate truth so you can find it for yourself, which is why Jesus never told anyone in the crowds what the parables meant. See, what we do is we use story as long as it's going to point the direction I want and it's very linear. Jesus teaches stories and he's like, hey, here's the end of the story. Thank you for coming. Goodbye. We don't leave people on cliffhangers. We are so concerned that people are going to make mistakes. We make sure we spell it out for them as clear as possible. Just in case you're wondering, no matter how clear you make it for another human being, they're going to make mistakes. Haven't you? I don't care how much Bible you know. I don't care how many prayer meetings you go to and how many worship songs you sing. We're not going to get this right. And the goal is not to get it right. It's to pick the right person, Jesus. Our job is to keep our eyes fixed on him. That's our job. Our job is to fix our eyes on Jesus. That's our main goal. And it says this. And in fact, let me do this. I want to prophesy over everyone in the room who wants to know the will of God for their life. Anybody? Raise your hand. And I want to prophesy the will of God for your life. Keep it up. It's okay. It's going to take a minute. Just keep your hand up. Keep your hands up twice if you really want it. Okay? Okay. Listen. No, keep your hands up. I'm going to prophesy over all of you. The will of God is the same for every human being who has ever been born and ever will be born. It's love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. That is, if you're confused about your life, that is the prophetic, pastoral, historic, and futuristic will of God for every single human being who has ever been born or will be born. What you're actually concerned about is your assignment, but that's not the will of God. The will of God is love him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. Guess what? When I say that, everybody's like, yeah, amen, praise God. Now what? As if you've already done it. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, you're going to preach that verse? Great, awesome. Heard it. And the truth is, we haven't heard it enough. Jesus says the entirety of all the sum of the law and the prophets is made up on that one thing. That's it. And we're like, yeah, but I got to go evangelize. No. You should not evangelize unless you are pursuing loving God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. If not, it's vanity. See, because when your life still looks like trash, but you can speak to the guy at Starbucks, you still have a problem. There's a disconnect between what you're sharing and what your parents might be experiencing at home or your spouse is experiencing at home. I don't care who you prayed for at Starbucks if you go home and you don't know how to be respectful. If you don't know how to be patient. I mean, let's just start with patience. Love is patient. Boom. Let's just start right there. How many patient people we got in the room? Maybe once, every once in a while. Do you get what I'm saying? We're like on step -1 on love, and yet we think we can love God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength, and we have enough love that we can give it away to somebody else. How about this? In the midst of loving God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, how about people see it and want to know what that is? Instead of making it an agenda that we have to fulfill so we have a good testimony when we show up. we actually begin to pursue God in the way he's prescribed. And what's hard is what we end up doing is we get so lost in the theology and that what am I supposed to do that we end up forgetting just to love him. And really, that's all we're called to. That's it. It's okay. Hey, listen, if you don't do anything else, you're really going to be okay. Just love him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. Okay, yeah, but like say I'm with a person, then what should I do? Here's step one. Don't tell them to their face Bible verses from a book that they don't even believe or trust. It's probably not helpful. Here's a tactic. Well, but brother, what if they're in sin? They are in deep, deep, deep sin. Somebody needs to let them know, brother. Okay, I don't want anybody to, make a mess of themselves. Let's try to help. Let's just look back. How does Nathan help David when he's in sin? Does Nathan walk into the room after David's been with Bathsheba? Does Nathan walk into the room and go, David, you are an adulterous, murderous, horrible human being, thus saith the Lord. I know about Bathsheba. The Lord told me in a dream. Repent or die. Thus saith the Lord. Is that what he does? What does he do? He tells him a story. He says, David, there's a man. He has lots of sheep. Lots of sheep, David. And then there's a man who has one sheep. And the man who had lots of sheep went and stole the one sheep that this guy had. Stole his sheep and took it back to his house for himself. David, what would you say to that man? That man must be held accountable and he should be killed. David, you are that. What if on Facebook and Instagram we stopped telling everybody everything that they should be doing and we actually just started telling them a better story? What if we actually came up with better narratives to tell people? What if we actually moved into historical? Guys, do you understand that your faith began around a circle, around a fire with a drum? Do you know that? Do you understand that before there was a written word, there was a rhema word that was passed from family to family around campfires and in living rooms? Do you think that they were concerned about their theology in those moments or the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that was so beautiful in that space that they recognized that they were a created being dependent upon a merciful God who came for them and knows their name? Which one are you going to be stunned by when you get into heaven? Which one are you stunned by when you look at Mammoth Mountain? Which one are you stunned by? The theology of the mountain or the mountain itself? The beauty of the mountain is not in the theology. The beauty of God is not in the theology. The beauty of the mountain is not in the geology. It's in the mountain itself. It's just stunning for what it is. And the crazy part is we're so distracted. We're so concerned with being right. Listen, if your goal is to be right, you're already wrong. I promise you that every single time. If your goal is to be right, you are wrong. Because connection is always more important than correction. We always belong before we believe, and when we decide after we believe, we will decide to behave. What we want is people to behave so that then they'll believe and then we'll let them belong. But that's not the way this works. You need to know you have sacred space with other humans who see you. I see you. And stories allow people space to process, come to their own safe conclusions. Which, P.S., you're like, no, see, that's not safe. That's not safe. They're gonna buy into deception. It says those who seek find. So if you're looking for deception, guess what you're going to find? If you're looking for God, guess what you're going to find? How many of you, let me just give you an example of this, just for kicks. How many of you have gone to a movie and experienced God in a part of the story? Just raise your hand. Okay. Proof in point. Okay, do you see what I'm saying? People are experiencing God more in a movie theater than in the church most of the time because it's a safe space where they get to interject their narrative in a safe experience. We need to be that safe experience. We need to be the ones telling stories. We need to get around the campfire again. We need to stretch our minds about what we call church. We need to stretch our minds about what we call family, about what we call community. We got to stretch our idea of what these things are. Why? For breaking it? No. God doesn't say that. God says we pour new wine into new wineskins. Why? So that both are preserved. God's desire and design is to preserve the way things were done while doing the new thing so that we can welcome in both with love, with mercy, with grace, with kindness, with dignity. I love that word dignity. We don't give enough dignity to people. And I'm not trying to fix you. I want to give you dignity about where you are right now. Come in and be a mess. And you know what? We can cry together for a while. How about that? How about you just come in and be a mess? What if we dropped all the religious language and we just were a hot mess together? Do you know how many people would feel safe? They came in and they go, "Guy, these people are a mess." I literally think that guy was drinking just 5 minutes ago. He smells. He's terribly. And they're just like, they love that guy. He's like the nicest guy. Do you get what I'm saying? All of a sudden they're like, "Well, I can fit in here. This place looks like a train wreck. All right, I'm in. Most of my life does too, so I'm in." Why do you think the sinners trusted Jesus and the religious people hated him? We want to be loved by religious people. That's our problem. We want religious people to celebrate us and high-five us and applaud us for how good we're doing at being Christian. If other Christians who run big things are applauding you, you're probably doing it wrong. Because they wanted to kill Jesus because that dude's hanging out with prostitutes. He's hanging out with sinners and tax collectors. And he was like, "You can't do that. Now you're unclean." And he says, "I'll tell you what's unclean. You are a whitewashed tomb. On the outside you are clean, but on the inside you are filthy. And just because they can't see it, God can. So how dare you tell me what's clean and what's not? How dare you?" I'll tell you a story tomorrow morning. I'm going to close out in prayer. Yeah, it's all right. I just feel like we'll get some sleep and it'll be all right. It'll be better tomorrow morning. I gave you a lot just now. We'll just sit on that for a little bit. I was like, do I really want to like go into fairy tale now? I just feel like that was a lot. I just yelled. So we're going to be okay. You're all fine. You're going to be okay. You're loved. Jesus thinks you're rad. Okay, let's just, you get why I'm saying all this. All I'm trying to do is, you guys, I know. We all feel it. We know something's changing. We're just trying to define it too early. Just let it be what it is for a little while. Just let it be what it is. As crazy as it feels, as insecure as it may make you, just get off social media. Just get off of it for a little while. Don't announce your fast. Anybody that's done it, I bless you. I'm sorry. That was bad. I'm so sorry. That was personal. I'm so sorry. That was personal pet peeves coming out on a microphone. I definitely need to go to bed. Okay, this is going to get crazy. Okay, what I'm saying is let's disconnect from the stories of the world and start reconnecting to the stories of God. And I mean the bigger stories. think there's some really, I'm just to give you an idea of how weird it will be tomorrow morning, I will tell a story. And some of you will be here, some of you won't, I'm sorry. I'll send you a video or something. I don't know, I just put it somewhere. But all I'm going to say is this, is that there are stories in which have been told for centuries around campfires that explore the depth and the breadth and the beauty of God by using language that we find offensive and often demonic. I'll just say it that way. And it's not. They're stories. It's amazing to me the same people that would say that are like, but I love Lord of the Rings. I'm like, yes, I get it. I understand. We like the things that have been named Christian because they make us feel better about our Christianity. I understand that. But we have to get out of that boxes because Colossians tells us he is in all. The word all means he's in all and through all. It's all. We don't get to decide what he's in because he already told us. He's in all. Christ is in all. The person you hate, he's in him. And not only is he in him or her, they were made in his image. That's right. So what gives you the right to say anything negative about them? How dare you speak to one of God's kids that way? I hope you get held accountable for that. I hope I get held accountable for that. I hope I get held accountable for that. How dare I look at any of God's creation and tell them that they have done something or they are something when I don't even know their story? Yes, there are people making bad decisions, but do you have any idea what they've been through? No, but that's wrong. Oh, really? My daughter has cerebral palsy. Okay? She's 16 years old, has cerebral palsy, does not walk. Okay? Do you think when she gets to heaven that she's going to be judged in the same manner that I'm judged? Not a chance. You don't think God's taking her narrative into account? What kind of dad doesn't take the narrative? Do you think I treat my 12-year-old the way that I treat an 18-year-old that I met at a high school group? Or a 25-year-old man who's trying to step up to me? When a 25 or a 35-year-old man tells me I hate you and is screaming in my face, do you think I tell? That actually happened on the streets of, like, France when I told a guy he can't hit a girl. That literally happened. I almost, like, went to jail in France. It's awesome. Whole other story for another day. Okay? And I had to stand there, and I'm like, no, I will. I'll beat you down in the street to defend this girl. I'll do it. I will lose, but I will do it. I will do it. For that girl, because she's probably never known anyone to stand up for, I will beat you down in the street. And he's cussing me out. When my kids go, I hate you, do you think I treat them the same way? No, I'm like, you're so cute. I mean, come on, seriously. You hate me. Okay, all right. Nobody, this is their favorite thing to say. Nobody likes you. I'm like, dang, they hit real deep, you know? For all of you that have kids, they know they've been watching you since they were little to drive that psychological knife right in you. You know what I'm saying? They're like waiting. My point is this. Do you not think God doesn't take their story into account? Because as a dad, I take the story of the individual into account. Right? So do you. The point is for me, as I'm going, guys, there are bigger stories behind all of these things and all of these people that we don't know, and it's time to give them honor and give them dignity. It's time to give humanity dignity again, to give your body dignity, to give your desires dignity, to give your pain dignity, your trauma dignity. Give it dignity and honor it. God doesn't want to deliver you from it. He wants to integrate it into your life because it's a part of who you are. He's not going to remove the pain. He's going to give it purpose. He's going to give it purpose so that you can utilize it to walk forward with a greater faith tomorrow than you do today. So why don't we stand together and we'll pray and close up. God, I ask right now, we bless what you are doing in America, and we bless what you are doing in planet Earth, that you have a plan and a purpose, and that your plan and your purpose will not be thwarted by any human being. No agenda will thwart your plan. And the job of our prayers is not to get you on our side, but for us to get on your side. The job of our prayers and our intercession is not to tell you what to do and how to do it and how to move. Our job in our prayer time is for us to be transformed into your likeness. Our time of worship is not to manipulate you. Our time of prayer is not to manipulate you. Our time of praise is not to manipulate you. I'm asking God that you would change us into your likeness. As we call out for America, as we call out for the world, as we call out for healing, as we call out for redemption, we ask that how you do it would transform us. And we pray like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is our prayer right now. Today, the Lord will deliver us. But that's only, you know, there's a but. The next one is the but. This is where we, today, the Lord will deliver us. And then he says, they say this. They're about to be thrown into the fire. But even if he does not, let it be known today, O King, that I will not bow for you. So God, we say in complete faith, God, we say in complete faith that you will deliver us and that you will redeem every broken thing. But even if you do it in a way I do not understand or do not agree with it, I promise you this. I will not bow a knee to anyone but you. In Jesus' name. Now let me do this. I'm going to leave you with a blessing. This is a blessing that I have been doing at the end of all my meetings. It is from an indigenous woman named Pokanese is her name. And at the end of one of these things I was listening to, I was just, you know, random stuff I'm listening to. I'm listening to a bunch of weird stuff, so it's kind of awesome. A lot of like Native American indigenous storytelling, and I'm trying to just, I want to, if we're going to touch America, I want to get reunited with the root systems of America. I really want to touch, like, and not in some weird middle-class white guy way. I just want to just touch it. You know what I mean? I want to just get down real, just in the dirt of it and go, like, I'm just trying to get that story up and trying to get that thing out and breathe life onto bones, you know? And she said at the end of this podcast, the guy just says, hey, do you have? Can you just, what do you want to say as we end? And she says, just off the cuff, this is what came out of her mouth. And I want to bless you with it. I'm going to read it twice. Just get in a receiving position. And I want you to hear this. You are the evidence of the strength of your ancestors. There are many things within your lineage that attempted to obliterate all forms of goodness. But you are the living proof that it did not work. And so just receive that. I'll read it one more time. This is what I want to bless you with. You are the evidence of the strength of your ancestors. There were many things in your lineage that attempted to obliterate all forms of goodness. But you are the proof that it did not work. Amen.
Oh, wow. Hallelujah. That was beautiful. Come back tomorrow, 10 a.m. It's just going to get deeper and deeper. But I want you to do something. You are the prayer team tonight. I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I just want you to ask them, do you need prayer? Just talk to somebody. Nobody should leave church without getting ministered to. So just ask your neighbors. Just say, do you need any prayer for anything? And Father, we just thank you for this night. We thank you, God, for grace. And we thank you, Lord. We just pray you seal this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Yeah, just pray for a minute. And we'll see you tomorrow, 10 a.m.